Welcome to the 24/7 Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Josh talks about how to live in God's love. We hope that the following message blesses you and your family. Enjoy.
All right, for those of you who know him, he's the famous or infamous, however you want to say it, Mitch, and he has all kinds of cousins, and he did, in fact, ride that Harley, so I was really impressed with that. He was having a blast with it. I think he was having more fun than the kids are going to have. I don't know. But at any rate, we're so glad to be able to say that we are going to be having VBS back here in fashion. Oh, hey there, Mitch. Your cousin Marley was doing a pretty awesome job there. Yeah, he was awesome there. So at any rate, we're going to have great fun. And Chrissy Ballou, the children's pastor, is down with the kiddos this morning. But if you have questions or concerns or things that you would like to do, or you'd like to be a part of that, be sure to reach out to her, and she would be more than happy. Or you can stop by the information center afterwards. She'd be more than happy to answer any of the questions that you may have. All right, well, we're going to get started this morning with the message. I was out last week, and Pastor Chris did an awesome job ministering. We were so glad, grateful for all that he spoke. But it is good to be back, and I am excited about what the Lord has to speak to our hearts today. So as we continue in the message this morning, we are continuing with this concept of believing, trusting, and living. And today I want to talk to us about living in love. You can't see it perhaps there, but it says living in love, so that's what it says there. At any rate, let's get into the Word of God this morning. Would you stand to your feet as we read the opening passage? It's found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 14 through 19, and it says this: "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to sit together, Lord, and to open your word and to receive from your hand today. We ask, O God, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would draw us in to your presence, Lord, and that you would manifest yourself to us in deeper and greater ways. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be reseated. God's love is deeper and wider and richer and higher than we could ever begin to fathom. We could spend our entire lives seeking to know him, and we would never be able to discover the fullness of the magnitude of his love for us. If the majority of humanity is content dancing around the edges, just a little sensation, a gentle reminder now and again that you still love me, instead of going all in, we keep seeking to discover his limits. How far can I go? Like the old Verizon commercial, this is going to date me. We keep asking, can you hear me now? Can you see me now? Can you love me now? Can you love me now? How about now? What about now? Do you still love me? Instead of running toward Jesus, we are running away from him as fast as we can. We only begin to live in love when we stop asking God if he is still pursuing us and we start pursuing him. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Don't mistake him being with you for you being with him. I'm going to say that again. Don't mistake him being with you for you being with him. Just because he is with you doesn't mean that you are with him. He said that he would leave the 99 in pursuit of the one. Is he still having to chase after you? Or are you finally in the fold of his love? Who's following who? My sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. The Apostle Paul said, "I want to know him. I want to know him that I may know him. I have forsaken all else. I have stopped pursuing everything else so that I may know Christ. He is all that I am living for." Can you honestly say that? Can you say that Jesus is all that you are living for? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. Is Jesus the object of all of your affection? The modern church is really good at loving God with their mind. We love the idea of Jesus. We love the knowledge of Christ. Are we in love with Christ? Are we in love with knowledge? I don't think we've even begun to understand what it means to love the Lord with our mind. Are we in love with the idea of Jesus? Or are we in love with Jesus? Loving God with all of your mind has nothing to do with knowledge. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve exchanged their relationship with God for knowledge. They gave up their relationship for the promise of knowledge. Why do I need God if I can be God? If I just know everything that he knows, then I can just make my own decisions. I don't need relationship. I just need knowledge. I'm in love with the knowledge of God. Isn't that close enough? Is any of this hitting home for us? There's a scripture in the Bible that really kind of scares me. And it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 5 and 7. And it says this: having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people turn away. Always learning. Say, always learning. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I don't ever want to be so in love with knowledge that I miss relationship. I don't want to replace knowing Christ with knowing about Christ. I don't need to know more about Jesus. I need to know Jesus. Ephesians 3:19, to know the love of Christ, which passes what? Let's read this together. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. If I am to be filled with the fullness of Christ, I must move beyond the knowledge of Christ. It is the pursuit of the love of Christ that fills me with the fullness of God. So what does it mean to love the Lord with all of your mind? Romans chapter 11, verse 33 reads this way. It says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. 2 Corinthians chapter 10:5 says this: casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Loving God with all of our mind is the process of replacing all of our thoughts with his thoughts. It is a mind fully yielded to the mind of Christ. You may say, Pastor Josh, I'm completely confused. How do I replace my thoughts with Christ's thoughts without relying on my own understanding of what I know about Christ? My thoughts about God, apart from my relationship with God, leads to vain imaginations. I'm going to say it again. My thoughts about God, apart from my relationship with God, leads to vain imaginations. Without relationship, my knowledge of God becomes a false image, which leads to idolatry. A.W. Tozer said it this way: the essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of him. I love reading A.W. Tozer, but I read one little phrase and then I have to stop and like meditate on it for like an hour. You know, it's just so deep, everything that he says. When Adam and Eve exchanged their relationship with God for the knowledge of God, their understanding of God became warped. What was the first thing that entered their mind? Fear. So they were afraid and they hid. Fear gripped their hearts because their knowledge of God was no longer birthed from a place of relationship. Think about the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. You know, here's Moses and he's receiving the Ten Commandments from God. God comes down on the mountain. Moses goes up into the mountain to receive the commandments of God. God is meeting with the children of Israel for the first time after they had come out of Egypt. And they're all camped there at the foot of the mountain. The mountain is at the top. It says that it's smoking because there's fire. There's a thick cloud. There's thundering and lightning. And they hear the voice of God booming from this cloud as God is speaking. It says it was such a terrifying sight that Moses made the statement, "I exceedingly fear and quake, tremble. I tremble." And this is the same Moses that parted the Red Sea, that performed all of the plagues, that had stood at the burning bush and argued with God and had the audacity to turn around and say, "God," at the end of everything, had the audacity to say, "Pick somebody else. I don't want to do it." And God said, "No, son, you're going to do it." They were in the very presence of God. The children of Israel were in the very presence of God. But because they had no relationship with God, their knowledge of God led them to idol worship. Think about it. What happened? They said, "Well, you know, here's the presence of God. Here's all of these things. There's this moving thing. But maybe Moses is alive. Maybe he's dead. He's been up there for 40 days. So we're going to worship God the way that we imagine in our minds." So they built a golden calf. And they began to worship the golden calf. Their idea of God, their understanding of God was warped because there was no relationship. Even the disciples of Christ, after spending 3.5 years with him, having seen all of the miracles, the signs, the wonders, having heard every message preached and having been in daily fellowship with Jesus, had a misunderstanding of Christ's mission and his purpose. They were misguided by their own thoughts, which led to doubt, fear,